Good evening, everybody. This is Kevin Moore. I am joined by Ms. Susan Stuth. Susan, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great.
All right. We are at the very beginning of Turkey Week. I know everybody is traveling and preparing the age-old family secret recipes for stuffing, turkey brining, et cetera, or contemplating what they're going to do in the downtime surrounded by a room full of their favorite relatives if there's no football on. So, Susan, I know we've got some varied topics, and I know, as always, people will kind of comment in the queue. We'll have some good discussion tonight. So what do you want to start us out with?
Well, do you have snow up there, or is it just cold?
Right now, the snow is all gone away, and it's going to hit 50 tomorrow, and then it's going right back down to cold. So I had to change out of the flip-flop Saturday when we had about 2 inches of snow on the ground.
Well, I left in a hurry from St. Louis and got to Colorado, and there were 6 inches, but it's going to be 70 on Turkey Day here.
Get the heck out.
Yeah, so I picked the right state to be in.
All right, I'm laughing because
go ahead.
I'm going to say I'm laughing because Richard wants to know if there's any fish flying by my windows again, and Richard, actually, you are correct. The wind is blowing out of the west right now at about 30 knots, and it's going to go to 50 tonight, so I do expect some fish blowing over from Wisconsin.
They blew over 12 semis in northern Colorado today.
Yeah,
the wind was so strong.
Yeah, we just shut the bridge down because when it starts knocking the pintos over the guardrail, it's time to go home.
All right. Our first contestant this evening is Lee Moorhead.
All right, I like it.
Lee, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Lee, how are you?
I'm doing well, Kevin. Yourself?
I'm doing good. You all set for Thanksgiving and all the festivities?
Yeah, we've already had the first round of it yesterday. Went over to some in-laws' place and had a great meal, and we're doing ours on Thursday.
Look at you. You pre-turkeyed. I think that's what the term would be. That's pretty good. I like it.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, Lee, you had some questions on an asset down in Calumet Park, Illinois. So let's kind of walk through this. And, Susan, I know, as usual, you've got calculators ready, Google card if needed. And because it's Thanksgiving week, instead of a Mountain Dew or something, I think I need some kind of like pumpkin-based drink. So let's have that ready.
Okay, we can do that.
All right. So, Lee, you're saying that basically this is, you know, kind of your first purchase, so you want to make sure that you got the glasses on, the magnifying glass, the microscope, the belt, and suspenders. Is that about right?
Yes, sir, and I was preparing for the call and going back through the documentation and discovered something else that I didn't see the first time through under the pro title report.
Okay.
I didn't expect to find under that report. I just figured I'd find a title there, but scrolling down through it, it looks like they've already done the hardest hit funds, which I didn't realize. But I don't see that balance. It looks like they got 35 grand off the hardest hit funds, but I don't see how that's reflected in the loan balance. That's my first question.
All right, so right there, that's a very, I'm going to jot that down. So HHF, and where do the payments go? Okay. All right. So Lee, let's go ahead and let's build a little background here. Right now you're saying that you are interested in buying this, basically put it in your 401k. So this would be kind of a buy and hold strategy for you. Talk to me about your strategy.
Yeah, I'm thinking buy and hold and possibly, I thought it was a good candidate for hardest hit funds. It looked like they had done a HAMP mod, but it looked like they were quite upside down on the mortgage yet. So I was thinking they could take advantage of like the Illinois refinance program, the iRefi.
Okay.
And it looked like they had, like, you know, that if you have a performing note and they're upside down, they can get up to $50,000 back. So I was hoping we could get them in that program. However, it looked like they had a foreclosure, or at least a filed foreclosure, but it looks like they agreed on, instead of foreclosing, to do the HAMP mod instead. And then I noticed a little bit later, it looks like they applied for the hardest hit funds, and it looks like they got it, but I, like I said, I don't see where that money was taken off the balance of the mortgage. Maybe I missed something.
Okay. No, and so Lee, this is a great asset to bring on a call and kind of go element by element on this, because this will be a really good teaching case study. So what I want to do is I want to kind of marry up your strategy and then what I'm going to call what we know now versus what we think we know now. So what I mean by that is right now you're saying, I am looking at this loan and it may be a good fit to go into my 401k and go buy and hold. So there, this is something where over time you want to go ahead and collect the payments and accumulate some cash flow and some wealth in the 401k, correct?
Correct in a way. I mean, my main goal for it was to get it refinanced and out, you know, and take the gain from the iRefi program, honestly.
Okay, so what you, all right, so what you were, so really then your motivation isn't necessarily buy and hold. What it is you want to use some of the strategies that you've seen that Brooks and Justin and some of the other students have done, and this is all in the case study competitions and everything, where what they do is they'll go ahead, they'll buy the notes, and then they'll use either the hardest hit funds or maybe a state program that's not part of the federal, which is the hardest hit funds, and they'll go ahead and they will get a chunk of money from the mortgage assistance program where they may qualify for $20,000, $50,000, $45,000, etc. And with this one, you were drawn to this because if you look at what the existing principal balance is versus what you can buy the note for, you may have, and I haven't even looked at the price of the note yet, what you were thinking is you may be able to hit a home run on this just by putting them in the iRefi, basically pay off what you've got in the note, and then still have payments to collect later. Is that correct?
Not entirely. I believe the iRefi program, you have to go through some authorized lenders, and they do it. So what would have happened, at least my initial thought was, you know, I'd buy the note, get them into the iRefi program. Basically, the note would get paid off, and I would capture the discount in the note. And then, of course, they would be with another lender, and I'd go off and do something else.
Okay. So say that one more time, because I'm going to jot a couple notes down, and then we're going to walk through this. So good.
Yeah,
so
no problems. Yep. It looked like the note was at a pretty good discount.
Yep.
It looked like it was a good candidate for the iRefi program, which gives up to $50,000 for a underwater mortgage.
Got it.
To the people. And if I could get them in that program, of course, they'd refinance with that program, and the note that I bought would get paid off, and I'd, you know, basically get the discount and be done with it.
All right, so what you're doing is you're focused on the discount. You were looking at, hey, if I could put these people into the iRefi program, that could pay up to $50,000, pay off the note. I'd end up paying the note off, writing off into the sunset with return of capital, some profit. I'm getting ready to go do it again. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, again, great topic, because we're going to go ahead and we're going to unravel this a little bit. Susan, because I'm just going to be in that kind of mood tonight, can you do me a favor? Go back out just to Notes Direct, because I want to take a peek at the house, and then I want to do a little math, and then we'll go right back into the pro title report, please. All right. So, Lee, when we look at this, we're looking at this property and going, all right, this is a solid little brick ranch in Calumet Park, Illinois, which I think is what, like southwest of Chicago, I think. And you can buy this note for 54 to 57. Okay, so 54K to 57. All right, and then right now principal balance is about 137. All right. Note rate is 2%, and we got about, they've paid, let's see, they would have done a 480 on this, so they've paid on this about 5 years in the HAMP mod. Is that right, Lee?
I don't think so. I think they started 2016 on the HAMP mod.
Okay, then we'll go ahead and check, because with the HAMP, they would allow up to 480 months. So we'll double check that. Yeah. So let's see. And then what's the monthly payment on this right now?
470 something, I think, is P&I.
Okay. And then obviously taxes and insurance are separate. Okay. All right. So Susan, let's go ahead and let's go out and let's look at the Pro Title report, please.
And so it's got like 30-something pages to it. I didn't realize that when I first went. I just looked at the first few pages of Pro Title, and man, I missed a lot.
That's all right. Susan's got the Internet Expediter pen, so she'll kind of, we're going to scroll through this. All right. So Susan, let's kind of walk down. Let's double check open mortgages. Okay. All right, so go back up. Who's owner? Let's go back up to the top for a second.
Darice Lake,
got it. Granter, okay, Lily. Okay, so 94, sold it 2006. Okay, perfect. We'll go down. Okay, that's an old mortgage. Okay. All right, so she took out the original mortgage for 148.7, 30-year straight term, okay. Assigned, okay. All right, so Lee, what you're talking about is where you saw the Liz Pendens notice of default back in 2012.
Right, and that looks like it was filed, and then they did the HAMP mod and took that away.
Yep, and so... basically, with the Liz Pendens, whenever you see that, basically that's where a lender or an interested party will go ahead and basically put a public notice on the property, and it goes on title, just saying, you know what, either they're in default, or I want to make sure everybody knows that I am owed money. So, and again, I'm giving you some layman's terminology there, so not legal speak. All right, taxes. Okay, we're good. All right, and Susan, continue to scroll down here for me. All right. Now, so where it says additional information, where you see the term recapture agreement, okay, and let's write that down. So that's September of 2013, which is about 4 years ago. All right. So, Lee, what I always tell you to do, especially as you're learning and developing your due diligence system, a lot of times it's really simple just to use kind of a T-chart and kind of mark things up as you go. So as you were going through this, you saw the mortgages, you saw the taxes appear to be in good shape. When something, so for example, Liz Pendens popped up in 2012, what I would do is I'd write that up and just go Liz Pendens 2012. Then recapture agreement, September 2013, what you're doing is you're building a timeline so that when the paperwork, as you start scrolling through the paperwork in the Pro Title report, you can start matching dates. So, Susan, let's keep going. And basically, again, layman's explanation for recapture agreement is if they sold the property or refinanced the property, that they're a secured party, may have the ability, they may be owed some money. That's what a recapture agreement is. Okay. All right. And here what I'm looking for is I want to make sure that the mailing address for the tax bill and the property address match. And on this one they do, right? 12638. Okay. Okay. Keep whipping through here. Tax is good. All right. You can, okay, homeowner exemption, okay, they're not a senior citizen, okay, we're good. That's a pretty nice looking little property. Mm-hmm.
lot of tech stuff.
A lot of tech stuff. I'll let you use your internet expediter, Susan, because what we're going to do is we're going to get to the recorded docs.
Okay, we're at warranty deed.
There you go. Keep going. And again, Lee, here's what I'll do is again, I'll look at the names and the dates, and I'll just kind of mark up what I'm looking at, and we know that Clayton sold the property to the borrower.
All right.
Okay, we're good there. A lot of stamps. Got to have stamps. Okay, 94. Keep going. You'll notice, and you always hear us laugh about how things, you know, you used to have to go and look up cards and everything. You can see a lot of the stuff used to be handwritten, which is very... Okay. All right, so there's our original mortgage. Keep going. That matches. Keep whipping through. We're looking good. Assignment, that's they sold it. Okay. All right. So notice of foreclosure. Okay. Make sure the lenders match. Okay.
Do I need to go back up?
Nope, we're good there. So Lee, right there again, good eyeballs, you caught that. We're basically, here's what it is. We've got a situation where the lender, because the borrower wasn't making payments, they filed a list pendants, which basically, you know, puts everybody on notice. So, okay, we'll go with that. Then, of course, that's Illinois with the predatory lending database. Okay, keep going. All right, we don't worry about that. I want to see exactly if they filed the HAMP on this. All right. And Susan, there's going to be some good questions on this too as we go, so we'll go ahead and go. All right. Okay. So Lee, this is what I want you to look at here, okay? Because this is where I want to match the recapture up against the HAMP modification, et cetera, et cetera. So Susan, let's kind of scroll down. So this is from August of 2013. And we want to look for the amount. Okay, $35,000. All right.
Or 18 months.
Okay. Right. And what they do with all, typically with the HAMP programs or the mortgage assistance programs, what you'll see is they'll put kind of a cap amount in, but then they'll also put a time limit in because, for example, in some states, they have programs where they will make your payment up to 36 months. We've got some other states now that what they'll do is they'll actually, my favorite one right now is they'll actually pay a portion of mortgage payment, but then they basically will give you almost like a living stipend for retraining. So, all right. So this is a 5-year recapture. All right. So this was done. Look at that. You get yours the same time I get mine, Susan. All right. So Lee, here what I'm looking at is this was filed in 2013 and it was August. So this is the first 60 months, all right, right. Which would take you to August of 18, okay, and 150, all right, we're okay there. Now, Lee, did you go back and look at the default stuff? Because at this point, this borrower's playing like clockwork, right?
Well, that was one of my other questions. It looks like they're always 15 to 30 days late, but I'm not seeing any late payments, so.
Okay. Now.
But they are paying every month. It's just it looks like they're late all the time.
All right. So what we just looked at, this recapture is for hardest hit funds, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Didn't say it was for a modification.
No.
Okay. So interim mortgage payment.
Right. This is the one I missed. I didn't see this until today. I did look at the mod and saw how that was worked out. And
all right, but see right here. Yep. So Lee, this is one of those little subtleties where you caught it. And remember, with the hardest hit funds, they basically gave her funds to make the mortgage payments. With hardest hit funds, those monies will go directly to the lender. So typically, if you go back and look in the servicing notes, you will see where hardest hit funds may have been dispersed. So, and I don't know if the servicing notes in this file go all the way back to this, but we know in terms of the timeline, in 2012, they filed a Liz Pendens on her. They were going to go and contemplate foreclosure. She went to hardest hit funds. They paid, they gave her payment assistance up to $35,000 or a year and a half's worth of payments. And those payments can be done in arrears. They can also be done in a combination of arrears and then what I call forward or ongoing. That takes care of that. Don't confuse us necessarily with the HAMP mod, okay? And also, this pretty much expires in August of 18. So what do we got? 8 months left? 9 months left?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And this would only apply if she was going to sell it or refinance it. So
At this point, I don't even remember exactly when the HAMP was done. So it may be if they refinance, and that would make that one null, right?
Well, so this is what we're going to do. This is where we want to look at it. I want to look at the loan mod. All right.
Like it was done earlier. Okay.
Okay. So remember, with a loan modification, what the lender's doing is they're modifying the terms of the note. And the whole premise behind a loan mod is to make the borrower successful. So what you're trying to do is help them over a hurdle, whether it be a temporary hurdle where they, you know, can't work because of an injury or they lost their job or whatever. So there what you're doing is you're looking at making temporary adjustments to interest rate, to term, to payment, to keep them on track. And so a lot of times when you hear us talking about the loan mods, what we'll do is we'll look at them and go, okay, here's what they did, is they took some of the arrearage or some of the principal and put it to the back of the loan, or they did a temporary drop in interest rate from like 5% to 4%, or they took the payments and extended them from, you know, a 20-year amortization to a 30-year amortization. So now the date, so this particular mod started in 2016.
Well, there were two mods on this one. It looks like there was one in 2009. And then there is another one after they went through the whole Liz Pendens again in 2016.
Right. And so, again, this is where have your little piece of paper and your pencil and kind of walk through these, because right now what I want to do is I want to look at which mod am I in. And if I'm in the mod that began in January of 2016, I want to count on my period. So, Lee, you said the payment was $474.67,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So okay. My question is since we're doing 2016, does that mean they've already called in the hardest hit funds?
Yep. Because hardest hit funds was done back in 13.
Well, yeah, it was done in 13, but it said it would have to be paid back if it was refinanced or anything, right?
It is a forgivable loan, so if they refinance the house and go to pay, so what they mean there is if they refinance to pay off an existing loan, or if they sold the house, mm-hmm. This borrower has not done either one of those. With the modification, all they've done is they've asked for some breathing room by changing the terms of the existing loan.
Okay, so we just changed terms. We haven't gotten out of the loan. So correct. We should be able to see that hardest hit funds payment back there. But, I mean, I don't see the payment $35,000 less or the, you know, the balance $35,000 less than the original thing. So I'm not sure where.
Because what you want to look at,
uh-huh.
The critical part of this is to look at they're saying that the new principal balance as of January 1st, 2016, that's the principal balance you want to focus on.
Right.
And you'll also see that they gave her about a 4 or 5 month lag before she had to make her first payment, or he, so the borrower, because mm-hmm. the principal balance as of January 2016 is blank, and the first payment is on May 1st, 2016. So this lets me know, so we're 12 months in, then June, July, August, September, October, November. So we should be, we're about 18 months into this month. Okay. And then, okay, so what they did is they did a 35-year on this. That's why. So what you want to, so when you go back and you look on Notes Direct, hold on a second. Go, did I misread that? Go back up to the chart, please, Susan. All right. Okay, yep, 5, 6. All right, yeah, they went long on this. Okay. So what we do is we take our handy calculator. So the maturity on this is 2050, and we did it in 2016. All right, so they did about a 34-year on this. Okay, yep, so 35 total. Okay. All right, so Lee, what you want to do here is just scratch it out, because right now you're 18 months into the first 5-year bullet. So in January of 2021, interest rate's going to ladder. So it goes up 1%. Payment goes up. And yeah. Then that's good for 1 year. And then in 2022, it goes up. And then it rides out at 4%. Right?
Yeah.
So now your strategy of trying to get a principal reduction on this. She's already applied for hardest hit funds and got it. That $35,000 that brought the borrower's payments current. It cured a default.
It what?
A new modification was done. So what was the principal balance on this? Susan, scroll down, please.
I mean up.
There you go. Sorry. All right.
Yeah, I just don't see $35,000.
You're not gonna. You won't see that, because that happened 3 years prior.
Yeah, but that would mean it had to be in the 170s or so for off the original note, right? I'm just not seeing that. I'm not seeing that delta.
Yeah. No. You're right. Could have been. What was the original balance on this loan when they started was what, 148?
Yeah.
I think. Okay. So original note was 148, and they paid on it, and then they had some challenges.
So you're telling me that all the challenges ate up that $35,000 pretty much, or a lot of it?
That would be correct.
Okay.
So now let's go back out.
Yeah, it was 148,700 originally.
Yep, 148.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now let's go back out and let's look at current pay histories. All right. Okay. So this loan was boarded in May with a principal balance of $138,497. Okay. Regular payment.
See how I'm seeing all like the due date 7/1, paid date 7/31. They're kind of all like that.
Okay. So what I'm wondering. And this is not uncommon. What I'm wondering is if they may have a situation where they're on fixed income or they're on some kind of budget where they get a check-in and they're basically going, you know what, I can pay it on this date. That's when I pay it. Now in August, they pay it on the 15th. Let's see. Okay. So they're paying 15. They're paying 15 to 30, but they never really go delinquent.
What's delinquent over 30?
Well, in theory, delinquent is the day after it's due. So if your payment is due the first, it's delinquent on the second.
So why am I not seeing any late charges?
I'm seeing some.
I see one there, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah, I'm seeing some. So one of the things that Eddie did on a performing call, and I think we did it about 2 months ago, and then we had done it back like in May, he has a lesson where he says, just take a 12-month period and then show me how many payments they made in a 12-month period.
Okay.
And I can tell you if they're delinquent or not. And he says, ignore the date, you know, the date paid noise, everything else. So in January of 17, did they make a payment? February of 17, you know, on and on and on and on and on. So match this up and see what you've got. My guess is they just pay, you know, within a particular time frame. And a lot of times, you know, remember with Social Security disability, those typically come within the first 10 days of the month. If they're on an insurance settlement or something, a lot of times those come in the middle of the month. And then I've seen some annuity stuff, some goofy stuff, where they come at the end of the month. So, and if this person never got on the front side of a payment where they're paying early, they're just going to pay, you know, they're like, hey, my August payment's due on the 1st. As long as I pay by the 31st, I paid it in August.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Okay. So what else can we talk through on this? Because, again, this was a good one to kind of sort through the noise and have the noise and kind of everybody go, okay, here's the HAMP part, which you know, brought the borrower current on payments. Now here's the modification, and then here's now the modification, what I call the new born on date, where the principal was X in January of 2016, first payment was May of 2016, and how I look at that, and sometimes lead to, I bring an underwriter's mentality to the stuff just because I spent so many years in the mortgage underwriting side. If even though they did the modification in January, first payment wasn't due until May of 2016, their pay history doesn't start until May of 2016.
Yeah. The only other things I have to talk through is a couple things. One is, since they did apply and get the hardest hit funds, mm-hmm. it sounds like to me my exit strategy could still work. I would just need to wait until September of 18 to go forward with that, if, you know, that's considering if the iRefi program was still around then.
And did you send in the snippet for the iRefi program?
I sent a URL, I think, link for it.
All right, let's take a quick peek at it. And the fun part is, especially Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, they keep modifying things. Okay. All right. So iRefi current of the book, a more money to call here, that reduce the balance of your margin, refinancing the base on current. No, it's not a problem. All right, top performing lenders. All right. Okay, so let's scroll down. So one of the things you want to look at with the iRefi is you want to see lenders and then also see if there's any servicers on here. And then who was the bank that did this originally? Was it Chase? Who the heck was it?
Bank of America, I think.
ABN AMRO originally did the original loan, and then it was Bank of America.
Okay, let's see what's... country. All right. So I would double check to make sure that there's a qualifying lender, because never take any of this stuff at face value. Sometimes you just got to pick the phone up and talk to them. Okay. And then on this, is there any disqualifying events? And what I mean by that is, if they've applied for one thing and received funds, are they still able to apply for a different program?
This looks like they want the occupant to refinance the mortgage.
Correct.
Right.
That's why I thought it was fairly exciting with the amount that, you know, the outstanding balance on the loan, what the note was for and what I could buy it for if they refinance, you know, is right. A great win.
So the challenge on this is this borrower, so the borrower's been in the property since 2006, so they're vested in that they've been in the property 11 going on 12 years. They obviously take good care of the property. They obviously have been dedicated to, you know, making sure that whatever hurdles they've had, they've maintained payments, they follow directions well in terms of, you know, qualifying for hardest hit, doing the mods, so they're sending the info back. So, mm-hmm. So you know the borrower is not necessarily somebody who's a blockhead or stubborn, correct?
Right. And I think you can hit on the more details there right above the IFI lenders, and it gives you a little bit more down. Yeah, go up, back up. Yeah. Right above IFI lenders, there's more details. Down.
Down.
Right there. So, current on your mortgage for the last 12 months, live in the home, qualify, income, you know, what I don't know is the income and home price limits. I imagine the home price is probably fine. The income, I don't have an idea.
Well, you're going to be very surprised, so click on that, because you'll be very surprised what those numbers are. So a lot of times you'll hear the term income limits.
Uh-huh.
So what this means here, for example, where it says loans with an MCC, a household with two people in it, so one to two dependents, mm-hmm. up to 80 grand a year. I'm going to tell you right now that I doubt you would have any issues with income limits with this borrower.
Okay, and the housing purchase price is fine. It's way underneath that.
Yep. So you're correct there. What you want to do, though, is you want to check what you believe the house is worth, because mm-hmm. you would have to go ahead the new loan limit would be about 97% of the value of the property.
Yeah.
So do your math there.
Yeah, I think it worked out right at the 50 grand. So it was pretty cool.
Okay.
So that was good. The other question is the property's in Cook County, and I've heard kind of nightmares about Cook County. So is that something to be run away from?
You know, everybody has their own horror stories of different counties. So, for example, sometimes you'll hear stuff from Ohio or Indiana or Illinois. At the end of the day, it's a matter of navigating through them using honey versus vinegar, as, you know, as your grandmother used to teach you. And then lastly, the thing's going to be, at the end of the day, if that program doesn't work, are you happy with the return on the asset? Are you happy on the discount? Because it's got a huge discount.
Yes, it does, and the return's not terrible. So,
yeah, and if you just did it from an ITB standpoint, what do they say in the collateral? So let's just say it's 56. What's collateral? About 85, 86 grand.
As far as the value of the property or the
82.9.
Okay, so 82.9. So let's just say you're 56, and let's just go 82. You're in a performing loan at 68% ITP.
Yeah. So yeah, all those numbers look really good on the property, like.
Right.
So.
Right. All right, and let me see. Let me kind of scroll through. Let's see, they're flying fish. Yeah, got it. Wisconsin fish, okay. Early turkey, okay, perfect. Nice to know we're all studying and doing our homework on these. Okay. All right. So Lisa Oakeson had a good question where she's going, why is he trying to put a performing note through HHF? remember, as the hardest hit funds program has evolved, a lot of the states have adapted new program features for performing loans. So principal reduction, et cetera, et cetera. Job training, vocational stuff. All right. Cassandra, isn't the property valued at less than note amount? So Cassandra, that you are correct. When you look at what the note is worth, so what they owe on the property versus what it's worth right now, there is a gap, and that's why we ran the ITV, the investment to value ratio. And there what we're doing is we're taking the price that Lee would pay for the note, because that's the important part, and pegging that to the value of the property. And if I took like $56,000 as the purchase price of this note, and I divided that by the $82,000, I'm at about a 68% ratio. Now, that's also assuming that that VPO is halfway accurate. Right now, given conditions, given the look of that property, could we argue that that VPO could be low? Yeah, we could. So again, with performing, you're typically buying in the 70 to 80 range. We tell you may see stuff in the 60s to 80% range. There may be some cases where you may go a little higher, above 80%, but that's going to be case by case, and you're going to want to value whatever your factors. This one at 68% with somebody who's been there a long time and they're taking care of the property, well within Lee's risk threshold. So let's see. So Steve had a quick question. How do you check the legal description? So Steve, what you can do is you can go to the county assessor website. You can go to Netter online with Pro Title, which that's one of our vendors we use for the owner and encumbrance reports. They'll give you the property, the parcel ID number. Some people call it the PIN. Some call them the APN. It's like, Susan, you work in multiple markets and, place in the Midwest, we just call it, what's the tax ID number or what's the property parcel number? I mean, at the end of the day, you're looking for what's the tax assessor's number that matches the legal description on the property. Okay, let's see. We're knocking all the leads. Lee, you blew up our board, Lee. This was a good case study, man. Everybody wants to say. All right. So Brett, if I refi is out, are there any other financing options? So Brett, at this point with this loan, if they're paying consistently and you're getting $474 coupon every month on this thing, are you in a hurry to have them refi? Because the longer they pay on this loan, the more seasoned it is. And because there's so many months left, could you use a partial as an exit strategy on this to recoup some or all of your partial or what your capital that's in it? And again, Lee said he was going to buy this in his 401k, so he's not in a hurry. He doesn't have to have this money back in 6 months. Okay. And then Richard, if there's a borrower, is it a loan mod that a ham? Should you buy the loan? The borrower starting to look like a serial defaulter. So Richard, I'm going to say this respectfully. I love the fact that you're using the term serial defaulter. Here's what we know. They bought the property in 06. They had a default event in 2012. It got corrected. They've done two mods. On the last mod, the most current mod, which first payment was due in May of 16, it looks like they are paying religiously. They just sometimes are 15 to 30 days off, or 15 to 29 days off. And there really hasn't been any carryover. I didn't see any bounce checks. So this is one where you're going, am I comfortable? Does it fit my risk tolerance? Am I comfortable getting a check for $474, every month for the price of the note? And am I comfortable with the as-is collateral value for the property? So, and then lastly, when you look at the property tax record, they don't have a senior citizen exemption. So it's not like you're dealing with, someone who is later in life who may have limited income opportunities. So, Lee, I think we beat this thing to death. What else can we cover on this?
Well, I yield back the time. You got 10 minutes for the other two people, so I guess I better let you go.
Well, that's all right. Well, and again, if you want to bring it back on, if we're doing next week, whatever. I mean, this was a great asset to bring on because it helps clarify the role of where the hardest hit funds works, how the mods work, and then how to decipher them. So, and at the end of the day, strong little property with a 4.74 coupon sits in your 401k, let it season, and parcel it out a little bit and see what that looks like. If the iRefi is not going to work, here's what we've done. We know that unless you can find out that there was a disqualification where they had applied for hardest hit funds in the last 5 years, we know that you can solve that by wait till August.
Right.
You know? So you put it in your 401k, you collect payments on it for 8-9 months. See if they want to refi. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, then let's look at maybe doing a partial.
Yeah.
Or you've got a lot of discount. You can also do it as a whole note.
Yep.
So it's a strong asset, and you're at about 68 ITV. All right.
All right.
All right, and Lisa, yes, it is. It's, at least that's why we like these calls, because we can beat these things up like a pinata, and that's where, with a piece of paper and a pencil, you always try to create reality.
Okay, we ready to move on?
Let's do it.
All right, next up is Nita. Nita, are you with us? Nita? I unmuted her. Nita, can you hear me? Did you self-mute yourself?
Nita, if you can hear us, type into the queue, please. Well, I know at Christmas time there's a danger of getting run over by a reindeer. Maybe she got hit by a turkey crossing the crosswalk.
Grandma got run over by a turkey.
There you go. Doesn't have quite the same ring, does it?
No. Must have been Grandpa that got hit by the turkey.
There you go.
Nita, are you with us? I'm not getting any response from Nita.
Okay. All right. Well, you want to go? I think you had Frank queued up.
I do. I don't have Frank's stocks up, but I can do that. Frank, are you with
me?
All right, yeah. Frank.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, Kevin and Susan. Hey, guys.
Hey, Frank.
Doing good.
All right.
Hey, Susan, can you pull up Chris Slosher, too?
Chris Slosher. Okay, hold on. Chris. Chris, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Okay, good.
All right. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Doing good, thanks.
All right. So let's go ahead and walk through this. I know, Susan, you're going to pop up the doc here.
Yeah, give me a second. I had Nita's all prepped, so.
Okay. You got hornswoggled, huh?
I did get hornswoggled. Maybe Frank can start filling us in on.
There you go. Frank or Chris, whoever wants. Kind of give us the backstory.
Well, the backstory is that we bought a couple notes a year and a half ago back in June, and we're looking to be able to scale this to be able to make some more profits anyway. And the long and short of it is the note that you have up there is kind of typical of the one that we bought back in June. There's one thing that's wrong on this. The original loan balance is incorrect, by the way. It should be 29.4 rather than that 44.9. So anyway, what we have is it's a good investment. I like it. It's making us about 14% yield. So for the past year and a half, we've done okay. But you know, now we're looking to see what we can do with it in order to turn some money and, you know, buy some more notes anyway. And kind of where we're at this point in time is we run the numbers. If we were to just sell this straight out, we wouldn't be able to Well, if you go down to the bottom where the our asking price is, where if we sold it for 21.5, that would be 21.5. That would be 7% to the investor. There's only an unpaid balance of about 18,848. So where we're at this point in time is we have a note that we can't sell for even a 7% yield at the unpaid balance. Does that make sense?
Okay, and so Frank, let me just recap. So the one correction is the original loan balance was not 44.9. It was 29.4.
Correct. The original sell price back in 2008 was 29.9. They had a down payment of 500, so that should have been 29.4. Yeah.
Okay. So 29.4. All right. So this is a well-seasoned note, and at this point, you've got about 93 payments left.
Correct.
Okay. And what you guys want to do is you want to go ahead and we'll use the term, you want to recapitalize your investment.
Yeah. We definitely, both of us want to be able to scale this anyway. So, yeah, we want to recapitalize.
Okay. And what's the current UPB right now?
About 18.8.
Okay. Okay, so 18.8 is current UPB. All right. And one of the things you would look at was if you tried to sell it at a premium over UPB.
Yeah, does that make sense in any way whatsoever?
Well, so if I have a note with the unpaid principal balance at about 18.8, why would I pay you 21 for it? And the note rate on this is 10?
Right, correct.
Okay. Susan, go grab the partial calculator. And you guys,
so is there anything to do besides the partial? I guess is the question.
Well, we're going to play that out because you guys have been doing about a 14% yield on this, correct?
Yeah, I love sitting on it. I mean, if I were just to put this into and leave it in my 401k, I love it. But we want to scale the note business, so yeah, we need to recapitalize. But yes, it's a great investment.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and Susan, down on the basically on the partial, let's go back down 18,835. There's 93. Or is that right? 93 months left, plus minus, guys.
You took it on the bottom or on the top?
Go to the bottom, please. The partial.
Okay.
I just want to double check the yield.
They bought 18,848.
Yeah, we can spitball it. We'll be close enough. And term bought is not moving. Your internet is not liking you.
Okay. Sorry.
10% rate. Nope, down below, same thing. Good. Nope, just stay down on the partial side. So
it won't let me put anything in that one.
It won't do that. Okay, sorry. Mm-hmm. My mistake. Yeah, okay, this one's got a dead man on it. All right, go ahead and go up top then. Just do 18,849 on top. Term bought, 93, rate 10. All right.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. The original term, by the way, was... how many did we have? Number of payments made? 204.
Okay. So my question is, could I sell this note? So now let Susan, this may blow the calculator up, but go to the bottom and where it says balance bought. So put 21.5 in there, just for the heck of it. Because we're beating this up, guys. Okay, now go to your chart. Okay,
So the reason you don't have any color left is because you basically sold the note at a premium, not at a discount. If this note is steady Eddie right now, and your yield's at about 14,
that's where it is right now. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Is there a way to sell it at a premium?
Right.
Okay. You're basically selling the note for more than the principal that's owed on it. So now look at the full am. So just go to the full am on this. Okay. And then go, let's see, keep going, go down about five more years. So go to about month 65. Because you start, yeah. Challenge is you start running on a roadway. And your partial am's not going to kick. So my question is right now, what'd you pay for this note?
We paid $18,500.
So you paid $18,500 for it. Okay. And right now you can sell it for $18,800.
We've already made about 14% on it for the past year and a half. So we've made, you know, close to $3,000 on it already.
Okay. So this was under money in the bank. This was a very, very astute purchase, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, I like it.
All right. So we know we can't partial it out. If you sold it today, if a buyer came to you and said, "Hey, I got like $20,000." And I want a payment of blank. Have you got anything in inventory? And I'd love a payment around 300 a month. Would you sell this note to this guy the way it is right now?
Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, the million-dollar thing is when I ran the numbers, Kevin, and I saw that, you know, basically to give an investor a 7% return, we could have an asking price above our unpaid principal balance. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would I pay that?
Yep. And so this again, same thing. This is a great question to bring because it lets everybody kind of walk through the what if thing. Okay. And at the end of the day, trying to sell a note that has a tail, that's going to expire. So Susan, thank you. I'm going to go back to my chart. That's all right. Where'd you go? Where's my chart? So sometimes you have situations where you buy notes and because you've got a short tail, you've got a problem, okay? Because there's not enough runway. So let's go back out to the input and let's look at something else. So Susan, if you go back out to the input, so let's go down to balance bought, and let's put $10,000 in. Okay, and let's go to 48 months, just for the heck of it. Okay, we're going to go ups and down. Give me 36 months, and it'll probably default. Okay, so go to 42 months. Go to 39. What if you guys did that?
Yeah, I'm with you.
So again, Lee, this was a great question because your thought process is the same. Sometimes you just got to look at your number a little different and go, okay, wait a second. If I go back and look at this, I paid 18 and change. I've collected payments and I can get 10 right now. And then Susan, go ahead and show me the chart, please. you still got a tail.
Mm-hmm. And, that was the biggest question is what else besides the partial?
Yeah.
So I think we answered the question.
Yeah, and again, what you've got is I'm gonna call it a good problem, and I don't mean that to sound condescending or anything, but you bought a note that had good seasoning. It's paying at a nice clip. You've got a great yield on it, and now you're going, all right, let me look at my inventory of notes, and can I go ahead and create some capital to basically buy a free note, or, you know, buy a note that's being paid for by the other notes. And I'm not hung up on the 10 grand. So Susan, go to the input, throw 12.5 in, throw 15 in.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, as an investor too, you get a shorter time horizon on that's even more attractive.
Well, and the other thing is you also have an investor who may come to you and go, hey, can I just buy the whole darn note from you?
Yeah. Kevin, not to sideline this, but I get what you're saying with the partial and us recouping a part of the investment. The bigger thing that maybe I'll give you a call in a later day is we're wanting to scale this, and it's these two that we bought early on were seasoned. I got a feeling we probably should buy them a little bit earlier, so then we can turn a little bit of profit and buy more notes quicker. But that's a different conversation. But I see exactly what you're saying here. Makes sense.
Yeah, and actually, Frank, so what you're doing is you're reevaluating your business after letting it come to fruition over X number of months, and while you were doing it, you were in double-digit return.
So now
this really is, and I know we've got some very sharp business people on this call. I know we've got some accountants, CPAs, we've got all kinds of entrepreneurs. We all remember business, you know, business school with opportunity costs and all that stuff. At this point, it's like, okay, if I liquidated everything at 100% face value today, what could I put it into? Or if I leveraged part of it and capitalized it at 50 or 60%, what could I leverage it at? So from an opportunity cost, that's what you're looking at. You're going, all right, if I want to scale this thing, if I did a liquidation right now of the notes I have, whether at a partial or a whole, what could I springboard those into? And there it's, you know, are there some notes with longer tails that I can partial out and create some more velocity? So what I would do is Frank and Chris, take this, play with it a little bit, and then actually let's bring it back on a call, because it's a great business problem that you know, everybody on this call shares. I buy and sell notes all the time, and here's the beautiful thing. With performing notes, you buy them, and while you're letting your strategies evolve, you collect a payment, but you've got capital tied up. So then how do you evaluate your capital throughout the business cycle, throughout the business year? So yeah, let's stay on top of this, and if you want, send me a write-up, kind of give me a, hey, these are all the notes we bought, here's the capital we've got, here's the returns, and we'd like to leverage because we want to create, let's just call it, what's the one of the terms that fishermen use, the honeypot, which is, man, you just push your pole in the water and the fish jump on it. The honeypot in this is going to be, we think we would love to create X number of dollars of capital right now because we can leverage it going into 2018. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so let's do that. So send me some. You can just send it the content. We'll go ahead and let's scratch this thing out, and then let's bring it back on a call. Because again, as I said, it's a great topic to talk through.
Sounds good.
Thanks. Okay. You got it, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Yep, and everybody's like, don't feel bad, guys. You did great on those two notes. Yep, and so Frank and Chris have got some great strategists that are on this right now, and they're going, you know, bird in hand, look at what you've made, and if you sold them out whole right now, what could you get? And then kind of compare that to partial one, and you know, go from there. And Lisa, who's been doing this, you know, a little longer than you guys, she's saying don't be in a hurry to get in a bigger game, because you're walking away from, you know, potentially a known entity, which is, you know, yields in the 13 to 14%. So, great feedback. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Peg. Thanks, Lisa. And also Michael. So, and then Terso, what I mean by premium is that goes back to an old term. So here's what I mean by that. You see the financial shows and they say that like a bond is trading at 103. What that means is that's trading at a premium. So if you bought a $100 bond for 103, there's a $3 premium. If you bought it at a discount, it'd be trading at 97. That means a $100 bond, you could buy it for 97 cents. Okay, we buy on discount. That's the beautiful part of the note business. All right, bring us home, Susan.
Well, we have our upcoming classes. Nothing this weekend, next weekend in Denver, and the week after in Phoenix, and that'll be it for the year.
All right. Perfect. All right.
And we want to remind everybody there's no Wednesday call this week.
There is no Wednesday call. Perfect. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Again, and tonight we had two really, really good case studies. Appreciate it. Lee, thank you. Frank, Chris, thanks a lot. And then Nita, I apologize. I don't know what happened, but send us an email, because I know you had some questions and we want to stay on top of those for you. All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Susan.
Good night, everybody.